Behind every good story is an interesting person. This is Person of Interest with Q102's Jeff Thomas.
Well, actor Jeremy Piven has enjoyed a long career in television and film. He's best known for his role as movie agent Ari Gold in the hit HBO series Entourage, which aired for 8 seasons and won Piven 3 Emmy Awards and a Golden Globe. He also played Harry Gordon Selfridge in the PBS series Mr. Selfridge, and he's been seen in countless movie, television, and stage roles over the last 35 years. But it hasn't been a smooth ride for Piven. He was the subject of sexual misconduct allegations dating back to 1985, allegations that he has vehemently denied, and taken a lie detector test, which he passed, to support his assertion of innocence. These days, Piven is trying his hand at stand-up comedy, a field in which he's dabbled in the past, but is now taking more seriously. He was recently in town for a set of shows at the Funny Bone Comedy Club in Liberty Center when he came in and talked with us on the Jeff and Jen Morning Show, and we thought we'd share that interview here. Jeremy Piven is this week's Person of Interest.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, man, there's no place I'd rather be. Said absolutely no one ever.
This poor guy,
man. At 7 o'clock in the, I know, right?
Oh, my goodness.
It's dumb, isn't it? What time do you normally get up?
It's hard to say, but if I don't have to wake up early, I really don't.
You have a background in comedy, so these people who were surprised that you're doing stand-up, I guess shouldn't be, right?
I grew up doing sketch comedy at Second City and been on stage since I was about 8 years old and probably done about 70 movies and many TV shows, and all roads lead to stand-up, basically.
What made you want to decide to do this? I mean, you're a wickedly successful actor.
Well, they told me that I had an opportunity to do morning radio in certain areas, and I went, you know what, man? I hate sleeping in. I want to hang with strangers. I want to look at signed Andy Dalton jerseys at silly o'clock. No. You know what? I love making people laugh, and it's just I remember doing some charity in L.A. at the Laugh Factory, and I had such a great time. And the idea of like coming up with a joke, you know, when you're by yourself that you think is funny, and then having a group of people laugh, you know, it's addictive. And I got the bug, and I'm having a blast. And you know, a comic recently said to me, "Man, are you making people laugh from the beginning to the end?" And I said, you know, I'm really not, and I'm viciously mediocre. No, I said, I absolutely am, and it's the great thrill of my life, because, you know, when I do, they may know me, you know, from Entourage or whatever, and I'm going to help the listeners at home, because they don't have
the
visuals.
Voice.
Yeah.
I know, the voice is very recognizable, though.
Mm-hmm. So if they may, you know me from those type of things, then it's a chance for me to get in there and for them to get to know me, and figure out selfishly who I am and what I think is funny, and observations, stories about my life, impressions. I do a 47-minute puppet show. No, I'm just kidding.
With all of those different types of comedy, you write, you know, you do improv. There's a lot of prep work, I would imagine, that goes into it. What has it been like in the room? How has it been dealing with hecklers and just cutting your teeth, kind of?
Yeah, you know, I'll never forget the first time I got up there. And as I said, I was pretty much born. My parents have a theater, the Piven Theater, that a lot of people, you know, went to and stuff. And so I was very, you know, I'm very at home on the stage. And the stand-up stage is completely different. I just remember it was very surreal. I just remember being up there going, well, this is home, but I'm terrified all of a sudden. And I literally was pinned against the back wall and couldn't come down stage.
Really?
And it was terrifying. And Russell Peters, who was performing with me, had to literally just bring me down. He had to physically bring me down. It was like being on, you know, on a really tall building, and I was afraid of heights. And then since then, it's just been great to get my sea legs and just do these shows and get better. And I'm doing, you know, I did 250 shows last year, and somebody had to do 5 to 8 shows a week. So, you know, I mean, the reason why you know who I am is I have a work ethic, and I'm just a stage actor from Chicago. And so I took that work ethic into stand up. And here we are.
And when you talk about that work ethic, you've done a lot of, like, you've had a lot of roles. I've heard you talk about this where you maybe had one line in the whole movie, but you use that as an opportunity to really capitalize on, maximize on that, and get directors to really notice you.
the intention was to make it as funny as possible and to get more scenes so that I could, you know, maybe get out of the pool house because I was living in the pool house. No, but like, you know, any one of the first 40 movies I did before Entourage, even, you know, Rush Hour 2 with Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker, my only line was, may I help you? And if you watch that film, I just go on and on and on. And that's what I'll say to anyone who wants to kind of, you know, make it and have a career is just be overprepared. And then so that when they do call your number, you're ready. So that, like with me, I'm doing a scene and they don't yell cut. So when they don't yell cut, I just keep going.
Yeah.
So I said to Chris Tucker, so you got the mochaccino skin. Let's put a dead animal on you. Buttercream, buttercream, croc skin, buttercream. What's below the waist? Mystery meat. And he goes, hey, sweetness. And I go, little Kim, it's spicy. I'll go pull some items. And that's how you do it. That's how you do the damn thing. You just got to come ready,
prepared, and
I am with this interview right now.
Yeah, the speed of right now is very different from the Ari Gold that some of us may be used to. Your energy, you know.
Yeah, but like even Ari Gold, that character was originally supposed to be like a background character, right? Like in the first episode, how much screen time?
Every character I've ever done is supposed to be a background character. No, Ari Gold had one scene in the pilot. With the great Kevin Connolly, who played E, and we were at a sushi restaurant, and my character was saying things, just insanity, and I just knew that it was a great show, and that people are very curious about the backstage life of Hollywood, and the pedigree of shows surrounding us, you know, like Sopranos and Sex and the City. We just were in great company, and if we all just kind of worked hard and did our jobs, then we might have a shot, and we did, and we got lucky, and it just goes to show you, like, our show ran 8 years in a movie. Like, now, you know, it's just there's so much product out there that it's hard to cut through it all, you know? So it's hard for a show to get people's attention.
Did you like doing that type of format, the TV thing, where it's year after year after year? Do you prefer movies?
Yeah. TV's great. That particular show was amazing because it was shot in L.A. I was living there. And it was an ensemble show, so it was the perfect scenario for me. I could, you know, lay low and get ready and come out firing. As opposed to just like maybe being on set every single day, you know, and that you're always playing catch up, you know, running home at night, learning lines, getting back. But with Ari Gold, you know, the other guys were out, you know, at a pool party, living the dream, and then they'd smash cut to me yelling at Lloyd in an office.
Yeah.
You know?
It seems like so much fun, and you're so good at it, and you're obviously successful. I just think it's such a ballsy, brave thing to say, I'm going to try this. You know, I'm kind of unproven, especially now.
Well, it's nice of you to say that, but for me, to be honest, like, I'm a stage actor, so for me, it's what I know and kind of what I do best. And stand-up is a different gear, but the same engine. So that I can adapt and adjust and get in there and go for it. And I'm actually shooting a documentary about the journey. And so, you know, I'm going to give people a chance to see what this was like for me. Because we haven't seen that yet, I don't think. Someone out there that we know, that we have a reference for, trying something new and making a fool of himself.
Yeah, the vulnerability in that. I mean, how is that a challenge? What about it is the toughest, putting yourself out there?
Yeah, I think if you know your limitations and you know, okay, listen, the thing is, if I hadn't done my work and I hadn't gone out there and really, you know, got a ton of reps, went into, you know, even dive bars and tried my material honed it until it was really right, then I wouldn't have earned the position to be in a mall in Liberty Township next to Forever 41 and the Rusty Choco Bucket. No, I mean, I've got to,
it's humbling though, right?
It is humbling. Yeah. The first time I bombed, I was at a little dive bar and I just remember bombing so badly that I thought, not only am I not funny now, but I've never in my life been funny. Ever. There's never a moment when I've actually reversed any funniness that I ever had.
It made you question
everything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I got up there and my first line was, you guys are probably wondering what I'm doing up here. And some dude goes,
yeah, man, what are you doing here?
I was like, oh, no, 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 this is not good. I don't think this is going to go well.
What's it been like seeing America opposite of the L.A. lifestyle? Well, like being here in Ohio.
I think every room is different, right?
Yeah, no, I love it. You have to understand, I'm from Chicago, so this is this feels like home to me. But my first job out of college was with a guy named Chris Farley, if you can remember that far back.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was at Second City. And so they would put you in these vans, these Ram Charger vans, and you would just go around the country and do stand up at Freudian slip, do sketch comedy. And I basically thought I was living the dream. I thought literally this is the greatest job in the history of jobs. It doesn't get any better.
With him. Wow. Oh my God.
Well, they separated us because we were both the problem child.
Oh.
Yeah. We had to be separated. But yeah, you're in these vans, and I just thought, wait a minute, I get to sleep in a van. I get to like go around and get paid to be funny. I just thought this is it. It doesn't get any better than this. And so that was incredible. And so that's part of my background, you know. So I love seeing the country and meeting people that you know that may have a reference for me, and they may be fans or whatever, and I wouldn't have gotten a chance to meet otherwise.
Do you think he looks like John Cusack?
I think that he, let me see.
With glasses?
I think there is a, yeah, there's something going on there.
Isn't there a little bit? That's the celebrity
he does look like he's in the family. He's definitely in the Cusack family.
Now, you're good friends with John, right?
Yeah. Look like, are you black Irish? Are you background?
He is Irish.
I'm 37% Irish.
37% Irish. There you go.
How about that?
I'm 60% Cherokee. I love when people say that. It's like, shut up. No, you're not. You're not. No one is.
But you've done like what?
You can't say Eskimo anymore. Did you know that?
Really? What is the politically correct term now?
I think it's frozen Native Indian.
Really?
I don't know.
But it's something like that. It's several words. No, but that,
see, already I might have offended someone.
Yeah, you
just
probably did.
But no? That needle is moving constantly. That PC needle is moving constantly.
Correct.
And you're getting into comedy at a time where I don't know what's funny anymore.
Is that hard to navigate?
It is hard to navigate. At the same time, you got guys like Dave Chappelle who are brilliant and fearless and doing their thing. There's so many great Bill Burr and Jim Jefferies and all those guys and Eliza Schlesinger and there's a Ali Wong. I could just keep going forever. But I think it's your job to figure out how to be funny, because we all need to laugh right now. Like, there's so many jokes I want to do right now, but I can't on the radio.
Are you dirty?
I'm not dirty, but
you swear a lot.
Jeff's got the delay on.
I don't swear a lot. I don't swear a lot. But I have to say there are some jokes that like are coming up in my head right now.
And are these jokes that are just coming up off the top of your head, or is it all like planned out and calculated when you're on stage? How much of it is improv and how much of it is sketched out?
Well, the journey of a stand-up is interesting because you figure out what your act is, and that can come. That's just a lot of trial and error. But the reality is to be responsible to your audience, you do need a set, you know, and so you know the bare bones of where you're going to go with it. And then every audience is completely different, you know, so you got to see like, okay, what are they getting? You know, maybe it's a, you know, a right wing crowd that you might throw a Trump situation out there and they get confused. And then you got to call an audible, right? and then, you know, you're talking to the crowd and something comes up and you... So you have to be able to think it right on your feet, but that's sometimes where new great material comes from.
That's what keeps it interesting and fun for you, I would guess.
Yeah, absolutely. But sometimes I just get people just screaming, Lloyd! And then, and then I just go, I'm sorry, sir, do you have Tourette's? Okay, what's going on right now?
Is there any chance that you would ever reprise Ari Gold if a movie opportunity or something or some kind of reboot presented itself?
You know, it would just depend on the situation. It's interesting because right now I feel like, I mean, even the other night, I don't know if you guys saw this, but they did a special where Woody Harrelson played Archie Bunker.
Yes.
You saw that?
Yes.
That was amazing. Jamie Foxx.
Right.
George Jefferson. And
it did well.
I'm sure it did well because I think all that stuff is like comfort food. You know, I mean, you even see that like there's certain shows on Netflix that are trending that are shows from 10, 15 years ago. I think people, you know, podcasts, you know, radio is huge. It's bigger than ever because I think technology is moving at the speed of light and it's kind of separating us. We're all have our noses buried in Snapchat. And I feel like a rotary phone in a Snapchat world because I'm a kind of a caveman.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing. It's like, you know, it's like everything's moving at the speed of light. You know, suddenly like, you know, they're putting now a baby face on top of your face. And then it just keeps going. And then there's these GIFs that they put out there.
Right.
GIFs or GIFs, whatever.
Yeah, GIFs, is that what you call them? I don't know.
People say both.
And then they'll send it to you. And then they're like, ha, I am hilarious. Like, I don't know if that's you. Did you create that? Did you create this baby face situation?
No.
So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where the exploding eggplant button is. I feel like at any moment you're going to say, and Jeremy, the truth is, this actually isn't being recorded.
No.
we just wanted to see you. Hello. And this is my cousin, Craig. And he wants to do a FaceTime with you. Hi, Craig.
We're very grateful that you got up at this hour and came in here.
I'm still in bed, man. I'm not even here.
Nice.
No, I'm honored to be here.
This is so cool. I love that Jeremy really Piven stopped by the show.
I know. And we feel very special.
And
I feel special that you guys talk to me.
I'm not joking, and I'm not trying to blow smoke when I say, and I told these guys before you're even in the room, that I think you're one of the greatest actors of our generation.
Wow.
And I think that there are a lot of actors, especially guys like you, who you had so many of these small roles, and you made them bigger than life. And I don't even know how many people are aware of this. Sometimes often it's after the fact when they get these lifetime achievement awards, but I don't think you get enough credit for what you do in your craft, and thank you for sharing your talent with us.
Well, thank you, man. That's why I'm here, and that's why I'm traveling across the country is to connect with people and to hopefully make them laugh in real time, because that's, you know, like, you know, some of the stuff people may know me for, like, you know, I've been in people's living rooms, not in a creepy way, but just performing. And I just haven't been able to see, you know, them laugh. And now I get it. But also for me, selfishly, to be honest with you, this is all my material. And I've been doing other people's material. So this is like my coming out party.
Directing, producing, you're doing it all.
I was just going to say, that's got to feel good. Like when you're in the room and you're getting that instant reaction that you don't necessarily get on a screen. You know, you don't have an audience when you're on the set of a TV show or a movie, right?
Exactly. So this is incredibly fun. And like, you know, I've been looking for freedom creatively for my whole life. So it's like, be careful what you wish for.
Life is good, man.
Life is good. I'm living a dream.
Yeah.
Thank you again, Jeremy Piven.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
It was great having you.
Well, Jeremy Piven's Cincinnati shows have already taken place, but he'll continue touring the U.S. through the end of 2019. In fact, you can still catch him at upcoming Midwest shows this summer in Cleveland, Indianapolis, Chicago, Lexington, and Detroit. In fact, if you want to find out where he's headed next, go to jeremy-piven.com. That's jeremy-piven.com. That's it for this week's Person of Interest. Until next time, I'm Jeff Thomas. Thanks for listening.
These are the people behind the stories that matter to you. Thanks for listening to Q102's Person of Interest with Jeff Thomas.
At Giant Eagle, you may have spotted the Stacker. With uncanny MyPerks ability, she stacks up the perks to choose either dollars off or up to 20% off her entire grocery bill. The Stacker, stacking up huge savings with MyPerks. Find your MyPerksonality and transform your shopping into free gas and groceries. Full details at GiantEagle.com/MyPerks. Perks cannot be earned or redeemed on select items. Restrictions apply.